Stager Talk Radio, brought to you by Real Estate Staging Association. The Real Estate Staging Association is the trade association for professional real estate stagers. For information on real estate staging or to hire a professional stager, visit www.realestatestagingassociation.com or call 1-888-201-8687 for a referral to a professional real estate stager in your area.
Hi there, this is Shell Broadnex with Stager Talk. I am joined today with Catherine Lewis Brown, professional real estate stager. Catherine, how are you? And thank you for being here.
Oh, I'm great. I'm great. Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. So tell me, where are you from? What area do you service in your area in Canada?
I am in just on the edge of Toronto. So I pretty much serve anywhere in the GTA, in the Greater Toronto area that anyone needs me, any of my agents go to, I will go. So pretty much the
awesome.
Whole Toronto area. But I also train stagers and I train all across Canada doing that. So
that's just amazing. And how long have you been in the staging industry?
Since 2010. Fall of 2010.
That's awesome. And business is great. And you are going to be speaking at RisaCon this coming January in Las Vegas. And your topic is called Stop Wasting Your Marketing Dollars to Clients You Don't Want to Work With. This is one of my favorite subjects, isn't it? There's nothing better in the world to actually have the client that you want to work with.
And absolutely. And we all should be able to do that. There's no reason on earth we all can't work with someone too.
We should. And I know that as a business coach, I talk to a lot of people who continually attract the wrong client and they don't understand that there's actually some science and a method to the madness and they really don't understand why they're getting the wrong client. So what's your experience with this and your feedback regarding that?
Well, I think that unfortunately, as new businesses and as business owners, we always think that we have to be all things to all people. And we think that whatever, you know, we start off out in a panic of like, you know, we need to get the paying clients. And so that means it's very hard to say no to anybody. So when they do come, we just continue to go down that same path. We still continue to market the same way that we were, talk to the same clients, have the same message. And really because we know they gave us work before, so they'll continue to do that. Whereas if we were to be really strategic about it, we could love the people that we work with, get paid really well by those people, and continue on really loving our business instead of that constant angst that this is a client that I don't want to work with. I really don't like this agent, but he gives me business. And that, you know, so I think we sort of set ourselves up for that in when we're starting out with our business and kind of desperate to work with anybody who'll pay us. And that's not the right approach.
And I couldn't agree more. And then what I think newbies that are getting into the industry, I think one of the number one mistakes that they make is they don't value themselves. And they think that because they're just starting out, they should charge less to get the job and then give that discount, the dreaded D word, which I cannot stand. And going out to a new client, giving them the discount in hopes of future business. And then what happens with that? The agent always wants that price.
Exactly. And unfortunately, as soon as you give a discount or you give them a better rate or you let them negotiate with you beyond what you're comfortable with, then all of a sudden you have set yourself up for that agent to always want that from you, for their clients to always want that from you because they think the agent's told them that's what they get from other agents that he shares your information with and shares referrals. Oh, I hear you do a great job, and you're really cheap and you're better priced than everybody else. But being a better price isn't going to keep you in business. So I think, absolutely, from the very beginning, you really need to stay away from bargaining. And I have to say, from my perspective, as a new stager, as I was in 2010, I was very guilty of that. I hope I didn't do it too much, but absolutely, there was a sort of a, you know, am I good at this? And as soon as someone said that they would work with you, then that validates, oh, I must be okay. So, and I must be pricing okay. And it's a good competitive price. And then unfortunately, as you're trying to grow your business, you continue to get those, I hate to say bottom feeders, but the kind of bottom feeders who are really looking for price over value. And really in this business, you need to be selling your value and always be confident in that value that you bring to the table.
Right. I would much rather see stagers, you know, multiple stagers bid a job. And then as a stager, I would want to win that bid based off my value and what I bring to the table, and not because I was the low price leader. I mean, I get business coaching all day long and talk to stagers that say, you know, I'm being underbid and somebody else is going for that. And they get very upset with the stagers that are underbidding them. But what they don't realize is that let that person underbid you, but you've got to bring more to the table. So change your game plan to attract the seller and the client that you want to attract, which is what you are going to talk about. So tell me a little bit about how you came to this realization and a little bit about what to expect at RisaCon.
Well, honestly, up until probably about a year and a half ago, I think I was plodding along, doing my pricing as I should. I was always making the profit margin that I planned, but I was never, I was definitely never one of the higher price stagers in my area. And I was always putting money back into my business and reinvesting back in my business. And it wasn't until, honestly, last summer, and because finding your ideal client, it crosses all small businesses. It's not about just staging. It's all small businesses. And I took a class, an online program, that talked about law of attraction and business of attraction, and which, you know, kind of a little airy fairy. But one of the things that they were talking about was finding your ideal client. And it had never occurred to me. It had really never occurred to me. I come from a communications background. I thought I had enough of an edge on marketing. Not that I'm like, you know, major skilled at it, but enough that I had an edge. And I found that what ended up happening from that was I realized that there are people in the 3 or 3.5 years that I had been working as a stager. There are clients that I loved working with, and there were clients that made me really uncomfortable. Clients that I wasn't happy with the pricing, that I felt compromised. Clients that I didn't feel really valued what I did. That, you know, there was never a thank you. They never really particularly wanted to work. Saw the value in staging on the whole. It was just had to happen. And when I started to realize that, and I started to realize that there actually was a profile of the kind of people that I like to work with, that was this big aha moment. And in the GTA, in the Greater Toronto Area, we're like inundated with agents. You know, there are 40,000 plus realtors in the Greater Toronto Area. Lots of stagers to fill those spots and to work with those agents. So in some areas it can be a little bit competitive, but a multiple quotes. But still, you know, you still get enough jobs. There's absolutely enough work to go around. And when I realized that there were 40,000 agents and there were enough stagers to go around, we all have something different that we offer those stagers. There's always something unique about us that makes us different from the next stager. And there's also a whole lot of things about those agents, those 40,000 agents, that I don't have to be for them. I really like to work with, I tend to like to work with female agents, usually probably more in my age group, which I think is also kind of happens as well when you're picking out who your ideal client is, that they tend to be a reflection of the things that you like in yourself and that that's who you'd like to work with. And so I found that with all those 40,000 agents, I suddenly was able to fine tune it. So I wanted to work with women who were in my age bracket, sort of 10 years up, 10 years down, who have quite an established business already, that have a clientele that they love, that are really loyal to them. And I found that the people that I really, when I looked back and I thought about who I really liked to work with and who their clients were, it was sellers who tended to be, that there was the woman that I worked with a lot, that they were full-time professionals, that perhaps that they were becoming empty nesters, and they were downsizing. They were going from their beautiful home that they'd raised their children in for 15 years, and that they were now downsizing to a beautiful condo or a townhouse. And so they really, although we all want to get the most value out of the sale of our house, they also wanted buyers to love their house as much as they did, and to see what they see in their home, because this was something that they were very proud of. So I found that in general, that was like really helped me to identify who I like to work with best, what agents work with those kinds of clients, and then that helped me to frame my marketing to exactly target those people, so that my marketing wasn't about how much money you'll make on the sale of your house. It was about selling your house to buyers who are going to love my house as much as I do. And that made a huge difference to my business. And not only financially, it changed the services that I offered, because I was now knew exactly how I wanted to target my services. And it also helped me to really plan my marketing as well, so that my marketing really shaped that audience that I was trying to reach. So it's made a huge difference in my business. And apart from anything else, I have really happy clients, and I am really happy. I love working with the people that call me and ask me to come stage for them, and I know that they are absolutely seeing my value and are appreciative of what I do, and they pay me on time.
That's really, really important. I would be willing to bet, my last dollar that your clients love what you do, but that I bet they consider you part of their team, don't they?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I'm not a big supporter of always of agents coming out on consultations with me, because I find it easier sometimes to talk to the clients myself. However, I find that the agents that love me most, they want to come with me because they love their clients too. And they enjoy hearing what I have to say. They're not out to copy anything or steal secrets. They just enjoy hearing what I have to tell their clients.
Right. But it's more of their attitude about it is that it's more of a collaborative effort, that, you know, this
Absolutely.
Is somebody who's part of my team. And whether I'm sitting next to you or not, I'm still sending Catherine out and to the homeowner, and she's going to do
yep.
her magic, and they believe in it. And that's really
yep.
the key, is that your agent, your client should be an agent that really believes in what it is that you're doing. And so let me ask you this, because I'm going to bet I probably know the number, but how many regular clients do you work with?
Oh, goodness, I don't know. I never count anymore. And it's kind of changed a bit, too, because I've been doing more training.
But
oh,
I would
goodness,
say there's so many stagers out there that think that I need 50 to work with 50 real estate agents.
No,
and I'm like, no.
I would
no.
say 10,
that's 10.
10 to 15. 10 to 15 max of, like, really good clients, of really good
right.
agents. Yeah.
And then it could even go lower. If you got 6 great agents that staged every single listing, that would keep you so busy.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know,
because
you said some high-rolling agents.
Yeah, because those people, those agents really believe in you, and they don't list a house without you. And
right.
They, you know, it's really, you're as you said, you're as much a part of their team as anyone else in their office. So, yeah, absolutely.
So what's, we have here in your learning objectives for RisaCon, the ideal client formula.
Mm-hmm.
So it was something yeah. that was shared with you. Is there anything about that you can share now without giving away the farm? We want to make sure people are in your class, especially if they're on the fence about what they're needing to do. Your class is really important that they attend.
Well, I think I would love to have people come to my class, because I think this is something that made a huge difference to my business when I realized it. And it's not rocket science. And so it's really sort of putting aside your marketing plan, and like really, and you know what it's like? It's like doing a Facebook ad, and you know when you can look at a Facebook ad and you can break down and drill down the demographics of that client, of like who you want to target. It's like doing that. So it's like being able to be really specific to your and reach the people that are going to hire you, and also with the message that's really going to hire them or is really going to sell you. So what we're going to do to identify your ideal client is I'm going to work through like the process that I use and it does change sometimes. Like your ideal client can change depending on the program that you offer or the service that you offer. So that's something else that we'll look at as well. But basically it's to really honestly look back at who were your most favorite people to work with and who did you not like to work with and why. And then to kind of narrow down from that to come up with a really nice clean profile of the kind of person that you want to work with. And then we'll work from there to do a basic template on a framework for you to create marketing that will work directly and reach directly that client, that client, instead of trying to be all things to all people. And so we'll drill down so that you can be as specific and so that you don't waste a whole lot of time trying to be all things to all people, but that you're also you're spending your time and your dollars, because your time is very important, and your dollars on the people who actually will consider hiring you.
Right. And it's just, you're attracting all of this. Just the going through the process of doing this, it is
yeah.
amazing. You actually see the change of the types of clients that are coming your way. I give the example of, you know, if your company sells widgets and you have widgets on your website for $50, you are going to attract the people that can afford the $50 widget. Whereas opposed as somebody who you may consider competition or another person that sells widgets in your area could have widgets for sale for $200 on their website. They're going to attract the people that can afford the $200. So it's one of those things. You can have something that's a similar service, a similar widget. They can work similar ways, but you do get those, what we call the bottom feeders, the ones that are kicking the tires and just wanting to do something based on price. And we all know that you get what you pay for. So when you find a stager that is got the lowest price out there, they're the lowest price out there because the quality is not going to be the same. The furnishings can't possibly be the same. They just don't put the same thing into it. So you've really got to, you know, on your website, there's so many things that you can do for yourself to sell yourself as that professional with professional photos and the amazing work that you've done. But then identifying your client persona of who it is that you want to attract is really the deal there. That's really what everybody should strive to be doing.
And I think what's also really, really important in that, and knowing me, we'll end up touching on this anyway, but is really understanding what's special about you and to really be true to yourself when you think about who that is, who that client is that you want to sell to. Because if you're somebody who wants to market to luxury home, luxury sellers and luxury agents, then you've already started to narrow your focus. But that's not my market. It's not kind of my personality. I'm much more interested in being able to talk to the homeowner and be part of their sale. I'm not interested in them feeling like they've got some high power stager coming in to bring in luxury furniture. That's not part of my marketing, and it's not part of what makes me feel comfortable. So I market to the with the message and a whole lot of me in that message. And I think that's really important, that people really are buying you in the end. They want to know that you're going to bring to the table what they need. And sometimes, and in fact, I think a lot of times, it's that personal relationship. At least for me, the sellers that I want to work with are the ones that want that personal relationship with me. And that's critical to my business that I have that, because that's what makes me also very happy. So I think it's very important to make sure that you really are not trying to be somebody you're not. I look back at my early days when I was like doing, planning out who was going to be my market and what kind of marketing I was going to do. And I was really trying to be very professional, which I think I am anyway, and I think it comes across, but I was trying to really insert that into my marketing. And I realized that that's not why people hired me. They hired me because they liked me and they saw value in me and what I did. And they also saw value in the relationship that I had with their agent, which was huge as well. And that if their agent trusted me, that they could trust me as well. And so that was huge. So not everybody's going to be the same, but you really want to be true to yourself as well in this process.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. People buy from you because they believe in you, not because you have a service that they need.
It
really makes a difference, and it's really connecting. And again, it always goes back when you think if you are bidding a job and you've got three or four stagers that you've bidded that job with, and wouldn't you, it just makes sense. You want the client that you want to work with, and you want the client that, because they want to work with you and to win that job because you hit it off with that client and you know that relationship's going to be stellar and you know that you can make a difference in their listing.
Yeah. I spoke to a stager the other day, actually, who told me that she was up with other stagers, I think three or four other stagers. The homeowner had paid for a consult from each of those stagers to come in so that they could, I think some of the stagers had come in and not charged for a consult and just given a price. She went in and she charged for a consult and she was higher than everybody else. But because she gave that value during the consultation, the seller went with her, even though she was more expensive than anybody else, but she created a relationship with them. She believed in the value that she was bringing, and that's why she charged for the consultation, and she gave them information that was really valuable to them and really was going to help them with the sale of their house. So it's interesting, that perspective. Like, we think that that sellers are often trying to just get the cheapest price, and I do think that that's their intention when they're getting quotes, because they don't get enough of you normally to realize the difference, but we can't assume that of everybody. I have to say that I don't think that I've competed against very many stagers ever, and I think that's because my agents really like to work with me, and they've referred me and given me their endorsement to and made sure that their clients understood that as well, that they believed in my value. And so they were much more inclined to hire me because of that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think that people, they want, it's pretty simple. They want the most bang for their buck. And they want the most bang for their buck, but they don't realize what that means until you can really get in there and develop that relationship with them. So what I find is that people will pay more. I know for myself, I always say, you know what, for $100 more, I could get all this. And, you know, for a little bit more, I could get that. And, or for a little bit more, I could work with that person. That's who I want to work with. And I think that it's just really imperative that people are attracting their ideal client. It just makes for a much better work environment. When you're self-employed, who wants to take on? I mean, it's enough just to be self-employed and to keep your business up and going, but then have to work with people that you don't want to work with every day. It's a disaster.
And you want to be able to say no. Like you want to, it's important to be able to give yourself permission from the very get-go that you could say no to someone that you don't particularly like to work with, and that's okay. And I remember one client that I quoted on for a vacant job, and he didn't go with me because I couldn't do it fast enough for him, which I was shocked that someone else could do it faster. And he wasn't iffy on price, it was just the time frame. And I thought, I was very relieved to be able to say no to him, because I thought, if I continue down that road, he will be expecting deliveries from me like within days. And that's just not going to be, that's not going to happen on every job. And I just don't think I can set my team up for that. Like I don't want to have that expectation. I don't want to have to be forced to get a job done. I find that for the most part, my clients, if I say to them, especially because I train, and I'll say, well, I won't be back in the city until till Monday. Can you wait till Monday to do the consultation or to set up an appointment? And I will tell them, I have someone else I can refer you to, and I totally trust that person, and they are impeccable at doing the consultations and the job. And they'll say, no, we'll wait for you. And that's what you want. You want someone who really enjoys working with you and will make every effort to work with you.
Right. I always like to use the baseball analogy. You know, when you're up at bat and you're in a baseball game, you've got three opportunities to hit that ball, three strikes, you're out. So you wait for it. You wait for the right one, because if you don't and you just swing at anything, three strikes, you're out. It really does work that way when you think about it. If you're just sitting there and you're patient, you wait for that next pitch. Wait for that pitch to be the right one so you can hit the home run, because you
and
nailed
it. It's devastating when you work with somebody who you realize just wants you because you're cheap. Like when you actually truly get the job and you start doing it, and they just want to nickel and dime you, and they don't really care about the quality, all the things that are really important to you. And now not only are you doing a job that you're sort of compromised on the integrity of the job, because it's not what you would have loved to have done, but it's also you're compromised financially, because now they're getting a job that you've given them a lower price on, and you realize that the only person that lost out of that whole thing was you, because you're now no longer making the revenues that you should have, and your team still has to get paid, your rental guys still have to get paid, your delivery guys still have to get paid, and none of them are going to give you a discount. So you have, it's really important that you stick with your guns. And I mean, that's kind of more about value, but value is a big part of who that ideal client is, because if you make sure that ideal client that you target is not worried about the bottom line, and it's not that you have to charge them a fortune, but it's to make sure that they are actually truly understanding the value that you are going to bring to the table for them, then that's what you want, is those people nickel and diming you, and you ending up in the end feeling bad about the job that you did.
Right.
And in the end, it's your business. Yes,
you know,
exactly.
Then it's just everything becomes an adversarial relationship, where now you, if you then decide, you know what, I can't do this now, I've got to fight for that, then it becomes an adversarial relationship between yourself and the client, where you're having to almost, you know, try to defend what it is that you're charging and fight back for it to try to be able to retain something financially out of that job to make it a worthwhile project for you to be able to work on.
Yes. And it's very empowering when you can stand your ground and say that this is who I like to work with, and no, I don't compromise on price, and it's not even price, it's like how you get paid. I mean, I had a client in the summer who dilly-dallied around. And then my contracts all say that they're to be get paid 5 days ahead, 100%. And sometimes a little flexible, still take a non-refundable deposit or booking deposit. But still, I get to the and he's to see one last quick look at the house before I get everything going, and he's going to give me the contract, and he wants to pay me by a personal check, which I won't do, especially the day before, and he wants me to go and pay the rental company and me to handle all this, and because he's got to go to work, and I'm like, well, I'm already at work. So, and it was, I said to him, well, we can put this off till next week, until you can give me, pay me the way that I need to be paid or I want to be paid. And he ended up that he had his agent actually pay me because he was, he couldn't pay me the way that I wanted to be paid. I don't know. He was kind of a peculiar guy, but I was prepared to walk away. I did the Kimberly Seldon move where I went out to my car and I called my partner, which was my husband, and said, you know, what do I do with this guy? And he's like, just tell him no. And I went back in and I said, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that. And his legs started to wobble, which was lovely because he had no furniture in his house because he was, he'd gotten ready for us to come stage. So I ended up the house, the stage to paid for and beautiful the way it should be. And I never had to compromise a moment, which is the way I wanted it. And and he was not my ideal client at all, but I tried to use my that those things that I know about me, the things that make me feel that
Well, we lost Catherine Lewis Brown. This is just lovely technology. I know the weather's bad and her call has dropped. So on that note, thank you, Catherine Lewis Brown, for being with us today on Stage Your Talk. Her topic at RisaCon is top wasting your marketing dollars to the clients you don't want to work with. It's a very important topic. And if you're on the fence about attending RisaCon or you want to take her class or you're not sure about it or listen to the audio again, please come out and see her. She's January 23rd at RisaCon at the 1:30 to 2:30 p.m. session. Thank you for joining us, and I'm Shel Brodnax for Stage Your Talk.
Stage Your Talk Radio, brought to you by Real Estate Staging Association. The Real Estate Staging Association is the trade association for professional real estate stagers. For information on real estate staging or to hire a professional stager, visit www.realestatestagingassociation.com or call 1-888-201-8687 for a referral to a professional real estate stager in your area.